Welcome to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.
Kia ora and welcome to this week's episode of Beeline on marijuana use in Aotearoa. Every year, people get together for J-Day, a protest against cannabis restrictions and a celebration of New Zealand's cannabis culture. Last year, I went down to J-Day in Albert Park and spoke to people about the event and about cannabis in Aotearoa. With the smell of weed in the air, relaxing music playing through the park, and hundreds of people milling about between stalls, I was keen to check out what made this event special. First, we asked about why people thought J-Day was important.
Prohibition doesn't work for everybody is the main reason, and to show that we're all united in the same cause, legalise cannabis. That's why we're here and that's why we still keep on being here.
Oh, my name is Kimata, I'm from Kenya. I've been here 35 years. J-Day is very important for this country because I'm a member of NOMO, the founding member. And the biggest thing about it is there were so many criminal cases for children. And it is pharmaceutical selling weed nowadays is very sad. And some people lost their jobs, some people had to can't do anything, lost their families. And this movement is for everybody too. Because marijuana is bad compared to what? Yeah, otherwise you can't compare substance and say people are wrong. So it means a lot for New Zealand, and I hope the government can help out too.
J-Day is important. So it's a business opportunity for us. We've been coming here, this is our fourth or fifth year now. Love coming here, it's a good vibe. Make some money, but also buy some stuff to take home for personal use.
Well, I showed up for a friend here. I think it's important though, just because it's a step in the right, it's a step in towards freedom, right? Towards liberating, towards just getting towards a better medicine, something that's easy. This is obviously not the medicine, but I mean, people are selling plants here. You know?
Well, J-Day is important to me because it's really about bringing, you know, a lot of visibility to, you know, the cannabis industry, the reasons that it is so important for people medically. You know, for us, we're here as a medical company, so we really think that, you know, the medical benefits just are so impressive and so various that it really does need to be out in the mainstream more. We need to have more education about it, and this is a really good way for it to happen. Especially for us as a company, having such good chats with people today about, you know, the medical side of things, and yeah.
Next, we asked why legalising cannabis is important in Aotearoa.
Well, there's the economics right there. When we legalise cannabis, we've got an industry that's busting to happen, and that's the tourist industry, namely, the number one. And then if we bring the hemp industry, we've got that. That needs to be a standalone legislation again, so they don't get confused between the two. Hemp is the fibre and all that. Cannabis is the medicinal and recreational preference for a lot of us. In fact, just over 1.4 million people voted yes.
It should be legalized the whole world, so everywhere in the world, because it's not a drug, it's a hub. There's a hub and it's drugs, and there's legal drugs and illegal drugs. So marijuana is never a hub. Even Africa, it was used for healing from India. So, and I hope everybody could see the point and free people from being criminals for just having a smoke, and no violence ever happened. J-Day, everybody is so happy, and for me it's beautiful.
Like, I think it's crazy that you know, people are going to jail, prosecuted, all that kind of stuff over something that's should be legal. You know, alcohol and stuff is probably way worse, and that seems to be all good. And honestly, in terms of like tourism, I think we really missed an opportunity. You know, we're a tourist country anyway, but I think if we were legalized, man, we'd have so many more people.
I mean, I've been a long time smoker, man. I've smoked weed since I was 14, you know. Obviously, the safety of it, the fact that it was legalized in the first place, probably more for industry and pharmaceuticals than it was for the actual danger of it, right? It's been smoked for how many thousands of years, you know, and it's only recently that it's become a prohibited thing. What, last couple, 100 years, 150 years? You know, so I mean, out of the sheer, I would even say to just break the system, the illusory system that's been created, right? Because it's not for the purpose of actually keeping people safe. That's not why it's illegal in the first place. I can see, you know, it's got its pros and cons. I've smoked weed for a long time and it's not all been healthy. I've gotten into unhealthy cycles with it. You know, it's made me lazy and demotivated at times, but it's also opened my eyes to music. It's also opened my eyes to a lot of different pathways that I'm really grateful for. I came from a Mormon family, right? I've got Mormon grandparents that all of their life, they've seen it as the devil's lettuce, you know? In the last couple of years, my grandpa's been through cancer. My grandpa's been through a few things. They stay true to their Mormon faith, LDS, Church of the Latter-day, they still love Joseph Smith. The doctors have prescribed my grandpa was hallucinating in the middle of the night after chemo, hallucinating in the middle of the night, could not sleep, in terrible, terrible pain. They prescribed him every kind of sleeping medication, right up to fentanyl. They had him on fentanyl. Edibles were the only thing that actually put him to sleep and gave him that time to rest and actually did anything good for him. It made a massive difference in their life. Huge, huge difference. And so to be able to see that, so something that was previously frowned upon by my family, the religious family, and something that's come full circle and actually been able to provide them with some medical benefit and actual and just good rest so he doesn't have to stay up in the middle of the night in pain is... This is in Utah. This is not here in New Zealand, but this is just part of the whole global change. It's really meaningful. It means a lot to me. It's really good to see. And makes me really happy that they're doing things like this in Auckland to make those changes, man, so it can become available to people that really need it.
To have it legalized, well, I mean, because it's such a great medicine, right? And it's, you know, compared to all the other things that are out there, compared to alcohol, you know, it's actually healthy for you. There are healthy ways to ingest it. And it's, you know, we don't have cannabinoids in our body for nothing. That's what I reckon. Like, we're supposed to help, like, trigger those. And it's such a good thing. I mean, yeah, yay for Jade.
Lastly, we asked one of the people we spoke to if he thought legalizing and educating about cannabis would help reduce harm.
Absolutely. Absolutely, right? Like, because when I first got into it, I think it was at a young age where it's not really always appropriate, right? If you jump into anything that's going to be mind-altering without the proper education on it, you're getting into some waters that you might not be able to swim in, you know? And so absolutely, with proper education and proper knowledge around it, it takes that taboo element away from it, right? That makes people drawn to it simply to break the law or to experience something new that they don't know about, you know? I think that's massive. I think that'll definitely move in a direction that's helpful for people engaging in it at an early stage.
After the event, I wanted to hear more about the potential harms of cannabis prohibition. I spoke to Wetini Dapana, PhD candidate at the University of Otago, who conducted a study into discrimination as it related to the Misuse of Drugs Act 2019. I started out by asking him to tell us what the study was about.
I guess there's a bit of context about the 2019 amendment to the Misuse of Drugs Act. It had the aim of remedying the racial disproportionate levels and convictions between Māori and non-Māori. So our study kind of had the hypothesis that because the 2019 amendment to the Misuse of Drugs Act instructs police officers to decide on a case-by-case basis whether a conviction or a non-conviction pathway is better in the public interest. And so, yeah, our study was taking the prediction that putting it up to the police officers' personal discretion, that opens it up to human biases and, yeah, has potential to exacerbate pre-existing biases. And so working alongside Dr. Taylor Winter, Dr. Ririwa Fox, Benjamin Riordan, Professor Waikare Mono Waitoki, and the late associate professor Damien Scarf. Yeah, it was like, I don't know, I just feel real lucky to have worked with them on that project because, yeah, especially Taylor having, because he's like a statistics teacher at Canterbury in the psychology department and worked as a data scientist at StatsNZ. So he compiled for me data from like the New Zealand criminal justice system for like population of the sample was 4.6 million. Yeah.
Yeah. Going further on that, did you find any demographic differences in convictions when it came to cannabis? And do you think it would get like better or worse after this change?
Yeah, so we're making the prediction that there'd be like no significant change for Māori after the amendment, predicting that discretion would be disproportionately given to non-Māori and, yeah, even like the low case, like like even in like real minimal cases, because some of the measures were like previous charges and even like what type of cannabis charge was. So, you know, we're particularly interested in people who are arrested for possession of cannabis and amounts under dealing amount and possession and people arrested for possession of cannabis paraphernalia, you know, just in like the like lightest charges, basically, when you would hope that discretion would be most prompted by the situation. But we found that so Māori was a predictive factor of that. And we also done another study that found young people were convicted of cannabis charges at disproportionately higher rates, just because we're looking into some of the factors of why people voted the way they did for the 2020 cannabis referendum.
And if we're thinking about like why this sort of thing happens, do you have any idea from these studies why we see increased convictions for some demographics?
I think the like socially colorblind approach to policing is definitely, you know, disproportionately harmful for minority groups. The like the war on drugs has a long history of racism, basically going back to Reagan and Nixon and their influence of starting the American war on drugs and how that led into New Zealand, the experiences of New Zealanders today.
Thinking like further than that, what kind of solutions could we see to this kind of issue from the government?
So repealing the Misuse of Drugs Act, first and foremost, and just to treat drugs as a health issue rather than a criminal one is the like fundamental desired approach for pro-social benefit to the community in respect to the war on drugs and policy. You know, any steps we can make in that direction are good ones. Yeah, at a policy level. And I guess just at a community level, probably just normalising a bit of like social advocacy among people's friends and families. You know, to quote Chloe Swarbrick, as she told us at the New Zealand Psychological Society's 2020 conference up in Auckland, that time to stop leaving politics to the politicians, you know, because even if we ignore politics, politics doesn't ignore us. Yeah, I think if we can just normalise having productive conversations with people in our lives, that would be good, because I'm sure a lot of New Zealanders have some friends who maybe believe some misinformation here or there. Yeah, being apolitical or having a socially colorblind lens when looking at these kind of issues is kind of a bit just like saying I'm okay as your stance on social issues. It's like, yeah, for any marginalized group, kind of effectively means like I won't have your back. And it's like, you know, okay, good to know. You know, like indifference to other people being discriminated against as an athlete. Yeah, a little compassion goes a long way sometimes in the current levels of, you know, current climate of with like high levels of financial inequality in society.
Finally, I spoke to policy director at the New Zealand Drug Foundation, Yasek Kawoje. I started out by asking what the dangers are of taking cannabis.
Yeah, I would say that in terms of harms, cannabis is a substance that is usually ranked kind of midway in terms of drug harm. So a recent study from University of Otago has found the most harmful substance in Aotearoa being alcohol, that followed by methamphetamine. And in that same study, cannabis was sort of midway. That also has to do with quite a high prevalence of use. Cannabis is the most commonly used illicit substance in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with over 14% of adults reporting past year cannabis use.
Obviously, people talk about the dangers of addiction. Is this something we should be concerned about? And how does it compare to drugs like, you know, alcohol or that sort of thing?
Yeah, so like most substances, like most psychoactive substances, cannabis has some effects on the human functioning and on the body. Some of these effects are quite desirable by the users, and this is why people who consume cannabis actually do use cannabis. So for most people who use cannabis and who enjoy it, cannabis helps them feeling more relaxed, feeling a bit high or euphoric, having some heightened sensory experiences. But in the short term, for some other people or even for the same people in different circumstances or at different doses, cannabis can also lead to some feelings of confusion or fatigue, inability to remember things well or pay attention or react to things. And in some people, it can lead to feelings of anxiety, fear, or panic. In terms of the actual harms of cannabis, so there is something like that we call cannabis use disorder or cannabis addiction, and it may develop in a minority of cannabis consumers, as addiction may develop in people that use many drugs, including alcohol, it is thought that cannabis is less likely to lead to substance use disorder than some other commonly used substances, but it is still a risk among some people. And that risk is heightened where people start using cannabis in adolescence or in a very early age, or if people use cannabis very heavily. There is some research linking cannabis use, especially when that use has started very early in a person's life or when that use is very heavy, to developing psychosis later in life. And that is something that should be considered as well, and that I think a sensible policy should address. So some of the policy solutions that could be implemented here would, for example, include building effective controls for people to make sure that young people do not have easy access to cannabis, for example.
Cannabis we also see a fair bit in the justice system. Do you have any stats on how many people this is affecting and how much it's costing?
Yeah, so in 2024-25, there's been 2,602 cannabis offences in New Zealand. The majority of those, over 60%, were convictions for possession and use only and cannabis, and around a fifth of that overall numbers were convictions for cannabis possession only, where no other charge was included. So that amounts to almost 26,000 cannabis convictions over the last 10 years. What's quite striking is that there are more Maori New Zealanders being convicted of cannabis offences than there are European New Zealanders, which really shows some of the injustices in the justice system. So in terms of spending on cannabis, it is quite difficult to find a specific figure for how much is being spent on enforcement. We know that the majority of spending, and that is also recent New Zealand research done by the Helen Clark Foundation, led by Dr. Rose Crossan, that research has found that 68% of money we spend on drug harm is spent on enforcement. That is $334 million. It's quite a lot of money. It's quite difficult to tell what proportion of that is spent directly on cannabis, but I would say that my ballpark would be that figure would be around 123 million spent on cannabis, based on the fact that 37% of charges laid against people for drug offences are related to cannabis. So that number is quite significant.
And then if we look overseas at maybe some other examples of countries that have decriminalized or legalized cannabis, do we see the justice systems in these countries having to deal with as many cannabis incidents or as severe cannabis incidents when it's been decriminalized or legalized?
Yeah, I think it's important to differentiate here. So one policy option that can be considered is decriminalization, which means that cannabis supply remains illegal, but people do not face criminal penalties for possession or use of cannabis. So that's one thing. And another policy solution could be legalizing or regulating cannabis, which means that the legal system for supply of cannabis with products that are either regulated in certain ways or can be, for example, homegrown. And that means that this system enables access to legal supply of cannabis. And for jurisdictions that have gone for regulating cannabis, we have seen very sharp increases in reduction of the illicit markets, which means that people are increasingly accessing cannabis from regulated supply, leading to a very significant reduction in number of convictions and number of people being dragged through the criminal justice system.
And then on economic benefits as well, is there money to be made from legalization in tourism or in other parts of the economy as well?
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure about tourism specifically. I would say that most of the modeling and evidence from overseas suggests that there is a net benefit for the state budget following legalization. I'm not aware of very recent research on that, but the report from the year 2000 found that estimated that legalizing cannabis could lead to a $335 million income from GST alone. There would be obviously very significant savings in reducing criminal justice spending. Legalizing cannabis could potentially also lead to creating new jobs in the legal cannabis sector, and would make it easier for people to access health system, which would also lead to reducing some of the health burdens currently experienced by people who access cannabis from the illicit market.
Obviously, people are allowed to use medicinal cannabis at the moment, but if the government makes further changes to the legality of cannabis, what are the benefits or downsides for people who already take it medicinally or who are looking into taking it medicinally?
Despite medicinal cannabis being available in New Zealand, still only a third of people who report using cannabis for therapeutic reasons have a prescription, and that means that the vast majority of people who use cannabis for therapeutic reasons are accessing it informally or from illegal sources, which puts them at certain legal risks, but also makes it more difficult for them to access product that's quality assured, that's tested, that's free from contaminants, and that is probably not as thoroughly tested as the products in medicinal cannabis market. One thing that I'd also like to add is that despite cannabis being illegal, a vast majority of users, of consumers of cannabis, 85% report that accessing illegal cannabis is very easy or easy, and the prices have been declining in the illicit market as well. So I think it kind of demonstrates that making cannabis illegal does not effectively prevent people from accessing it, and that's something that I think we should be mindful of when thinking about some policy solutions that could actually improve the situation.
Thanks for listening to Beeline. Thank you to all of our guests, everyone who spoke with us at J-Day, PhD candidate at the University of Otago, Wetini Rapana, and policy director at the NZ Drug Foundation, Yasek Kawodje. Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.